Man, this aircon is racist.
I've never ever been a spy.
Can the VBS bank loot?
The problem is that Pinky.
I'll never subject myself to whiteness.
I'm listening.
Can you have consistency, Honorable Chair?
Corruption was an Olympic sport. They will always win gold.
This is not a shape.
Sergeant at arms, can you please come in?
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Sunday Times Politics Weekly with me, Amil Amrao. I'm joined in studio this week by a special guest and the rest of our team who you all should be used to, our resident rugby expert here at TISO, Kaniso Chwaku. Thank you so much for joining us, man.
Thank you, Kmar.
Well, it's clear you weren't with us on Saturday.
And I just want to say welcome to the other guests in studio up here with de Klerk, Kwanita Hunter and Zimasa Matiwana. As you may have guessed, we've decided to dedicate this entire podcast this week to the phenomenal Springbok win at the Rugby World Cup. I mean, for me, watching Siya Kolisi lift that trophy at the end of the game was just inspiring. And I think for many other people, South African citizens, young and old, they may have shared the same sentiment. But I say many, not all, for certain reasons. And that's because some leaders in the EFF took to Twitter afterwards, saying a whole bunch of things, basically talking down the victory and just saying that it's basically... what was it, guys? I can't even describe these tweets. But let's just listen to some of what Mbuyiseni Ndlozi, the EFF spokesperson, had to say. So he tweeted on the same day that you forget that today is South Africa playing against South Africa. They will celebrate either way. Then he has a sigh. During the Soccer World Cup in 2010, they had both flags in their homes and cars, and we all know who he's talking about here. And then he goes on to say, today is England versus England. I mean, during the 2010 World Cup, blah, 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 he makes the same sentiment. And he goes on to say, and I think this was the most controversial tweet, congratulations to hashtag Siya Kolisi. The rest go get your congratulations from Prince Harry. So many arguing that these tweets by Ndlozi and these tweets that were backed up by Julius Malema and other leaders of the EFF like Dali Mpofu were very racially divisive on a day where South Africans really stood together and supported their rugby team. What do you guys think? Does Mbuyiseni have a point here, or is he just being or using politics to divide the nation even more?
The problem with that is that it's the notion of having an opinion. Everyone is entitled to opinion, just like everyone is entitled to belch. But remember that it's also rude to belch in public around other people. Also, people need to understand the history of the Springbok emblem and how divisive it is. So, I mean, there's a big group of South African citizens who support the All Blacks. And their reasons are justified because they feel that the South African game doesn't represent them. Also, the Springbok emblem remains a remnant of the apartheid past. And if you look at the rest of South Africa's national teams, every other team uses the Protea. The Springboks share the Protea with the Springbok. So already, the fact that that emblem is there, remember that black people were not able to represent the Springboks or any other national team that actually had the Springbok emblem pre-1991 or 1992. So for some, those wounds haven't died. They feel that reconciliation was white-black clubs assimilating into white structures, into their pre-existing white structures, instead of full and extended transformation. I mean, I tweeted on Saturday during the game that where is the quota crew? Because there's a big debate regarding the quotas, I mean, affirmative action. It is transformation targets, but people still choose to use the word quotas. Again, there was a big debate before the World Cup started on whether Rassie Erasmus missing the transformation target, the squad itself, the one-man squad, was supposed to be a 50-50 split, but it wasn't. But if you look at the black players that he picked, those are the best black players available in the country. So in one way, the debate then dies because you feel that the guys, your Lukanyo Arms, your Makazole Mapimpis, your Siya Kolisi, your Trevor Nyaganes, they're the best black players around in the country. And all of them were there. Apiwe Jankiev, he didn't have his issues with his his drugs, the drug scandal, he would have probably been in the World Cup. Chances are, one of Makazule Mapimbi or Warghaland may not have gone to the World Cup, so would have been a black player replacing a black player. But people are entitled to their opinions, but also sometimes you need to gauge the mood. I think that is a critical part. You can't be tone deaf. I saw Helen Zille also trying to be a bit clever with her tweets over Merit. But merit to ANC people could be merit to someone else. So it's tone deaf. Being knowing what to tweet and when to tweet it is critical.
Yeah, look, personally, I felt that the moment Siya Kolisi lifted that trophy, but also his utterances after the game, he showed a lot of leadership, reflecting that we come from different backgrounds and we've got all our problems as a nation, which is the case.
Well, let's listen to some of what Siya Kolisi said on the day.
With the winning captain from South Africa, Siya Kolisi.
And you know, we have so many problems in our country, but to have a team like this, you know, we come from different backgrounds, different races, and we came together with one goal and we wanted to achieve it. I really hope that we've done that for South Africa, to show that we can pull together if we want to work and we achieve something.
Couldn't have said it any better, Cap. Well, that audio, thanks to SuperSport, but up here you were saying that this is also just as important as the win, his utterances.
Yes, it is as important as the win, because it shows that you have a captain who's quite aware of the country where he comes from. And, you know, he's a sportsman, right? When you are giving some other sportsmen, they limit their comments, their post-match interviews to sports, but he's quite aware of the history of rugby in South Africa and how what Twagu was saying, that it was a symbol of oppression. And look, I disagree with how Ndlozi went about what he was trying to do, even when he's saying only Siya is getting congratulations from them, the rest must go. I mean, if he's saying this because he feels that maybe there should be more black players, there were black players that he didn't mention. So what is he saying about Mapimbi? What is he saying about...
There was 8 other black players.
Yeah, to so be precise. It's quite stupid. But there has been a number of people who had come out and stated that, look, there was a World Cup win in 95. Things didn't change. There was a World Cup win in 2007. We still remained with these problems. So, you know, those people are not off the mark. As much as we want our sporting teams to give us hope when there is no hope, it can then just be that, okay, just because this is what has happened, we must use those moments also to reflect on our history, on what still needs to be done.
But the thing is, we constantly faced every single day, you just walk around in Johannesburg, you just get confronted with the dismal state this country is in. You read the newspapers. I mean, we are day in and day out, we are naysayers. We just give bad news all the time, and we get salaries for giving people bad news. The amount of negativity and toxicity that is as a result of the bad state of not only the economy, the socioeconomic status in South Africa, the bad politics, the lack of transformation. I mean, our problems are endless in South Africa. And I think that really, to just give people 60 minutes to enjoy a win, which is amazing, an incredible win, it's about hope. Because what is the alternative to hope? For people to start going and killing each other. We're already doing that, right?
Yeah.
So for me, I don't care about rugby. I don't even know what a try was at all. But I mean, that moment of hope, that moment of positivity, that moment of that unity was important, not because you're trying to hide from the problems or Ramaphosa wants to get a cheap win from this. It's just this was an incredible feat. We are world winners. That team, what the team did was incredible.
Yeah.
It was not just a hoax that we won by 2 points. It was an incredible win.
Yeah.
And so if you just as a nation say, okay, we have all those terrible things that are happening to us, but okay, let us just celebrate the moment and then build on that.
I mean, you mentioned that. I mean, SA Rugby is not a paragon of proper governance. I mean, there's the Eben Etzebeth matter that still needs to be dealt with this week. I mean, South Africa, SA Rugby was for a time not in the very best of financial spaces. I mean, there's an exodus of players each season that leave South Africa that go apply their rugby overseas. So already the player base is forever being SA Rugby is always in a state of constant flux. And I mean, if you look, there's a number of players within that same Springbok team who are not going to be playing domestic rugby in South Africa next year. I mean, Etzebeth is one, Andre Pollard is one. So there's a number of players within that team who also play overseas, like your Faf de Klerks. So already, these players who make more money outside of the country playing for their clubs, who still have pride in representing the Springboks. Yes, it's true. I mean, the pathways in terms of representing the Springboks need to be changed because 8% of the Springboks come from.
But do we have to have that conversation?
True.
Today, can we not have that conversation next week?
You know, people made, especially on social media, people made it seem like the Springboks went on a battle to fight a revolution for racial equality and this and that. And that was not it. They went to play a tournament, they won, and we should be proud.
Oh, of the sportsmanship, and that's it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I don't think there was ever a promise that, you know what, if we win, then... The socio-economic condition.
To
no, man, come on. People are just being ridiculous. Of course, the issue of transformation will always be a thorn in the rugby conversation.
Yeah.
But having a black captain was significant. What was more significant for me and what made me forget, not forget, but manage to ignore the anti-black sentiment that has blocked a lot of black people from succeeding in playing rugby was Magazole's story of how he got there.
Mm.
If Saru can look at that guy and realize that there's many like him, that talent needs to be uncovered in rural rugby. You don't need to go to Michael House. You don't need to go to Grays to be able to play rugby. And for me, that was the most important part of this World Cup.
And also like that moment of hope for that child in rural Eastern Cape
that
who's sitting and watching, little shared TV. Why do we want to take that joy away from that child?
That was my Instagram status because my child plays rugby. He lives in rural Eastern Cape. He loves it. He truly, truly loves it. When I spoke to him, he was emotional. When we discussed the journey of the black players in getting into the Springboks.
Mm.
There was hope there, you know, especially with this guy, with Magazole, especially with him, because his journey is so different
from the rest. What is his journey?
He wasn't lucky enough to get to be spotted by and get a scholarship maybe to a rugby, traditional rugby. So he played rural rugby, but he made it. And those who came before him could not. He is the first, right?
Yeah. He went to a school called Jim Vabaz in Twit. I don't think you know where he played that place.
Exactly.
Yeah. He never played Craven Week. He never played the proper representative rugby at provincial level at school because a lot of the players are sourced from Craven Week. I mean, Lukanyo Arms, another one. He didn't play Craven. He went to a reasonable school in King Tifos Malan. But if you go to people who ask about them, when you talk about King Williamstown, the first thing they'll tell you is Dell College. Who comes from Dell College?
Teram
Tembo, Makayantini, Mondezondegi. They'll tell you. But when you talk about Tifos Malan, they'll ask you, where is Tifos Malan? So again, the critical part about rugby and its attachment to black people is representation. We wrote at length about Chester Williams and how Chester Williams represented all the hopes and the dreams of black people back in 1995 because he was the only black member in the team. And you look back at Kaya Malotana. Kaya Malotana is probably the most significant Springbok in my eyes because he was the first black African Springbok when he played in the World Cup in 1999. And he went to Queen's College, which is a traditional rugby school. That school produced Robbie Kempson, Daryl Cullinan. So already... the representation key is important. The fact that the game was available on free-to-air. We were sitting here having a proper guffaw about Mthuthuzeli Scott's commentary.
Yeah, we
were having a proper guffaw.
Shampombo.
See, that is Kawunda Ntunja.
Yeah.
Again, it's representation. Yeah. A lot of people compare Kawunda to Bram Tura.
Which is unnecessary. Whereas
it's unnecessary because Kawunda represents your new school watcher of rugby.
Yeah.
He still uses serviceable thoughts about. He speaks to the youth.
Yeah.
Like kids who watch rugby on DSTV. Those old school who watch, listen to rugby on Mhlobo Wenene will understand and know Bram Tura's nuance. But again, the key matter is that you have representation. You see people like you in a level, then you become happy because now you feel that you can actually make it.
Hmm. You know, on Saturday, I kind of felt the same feeling I had when I was sitting at the inauguration earlier this year, right? I knew it was a fake moment of unity, and I know that it was going to end. But in that moment, that pride of everyone coming together and celebrating just a peaceful transition from one government to another, which is a very rare thing across in the continent, and it's a luxury that South Africa still enforces that in a democratic space. For me, when I sat, at that inauguration and that feeling of like unity, and even though we don't know each other, but we all celebrating something, was a similar feeling that I felt, on Saturday, because it was something that brought people together. My question is, why aren't politicians building on that? Why are we, there's a race to tear each other apart so that we don't get to that united space?
Well, I think that's the perfect time to take a short break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about a bit more about those politics that Q was talking about.
Racial identity politics, a phrase that has the potential to start an argument in just about any situation. That's why we're starting it first. Let's Start an Argument is a unique and insightful podcast series about the meaning of race to us today. Presented by researcher Cecilia Koch and Doctor of Philosophy Jason Werbeloff, the series aims to spark rational argument and meaningful discussion around this controversial topic. Find Let's Start an Argument now on the Cliff Central app, cliffcentral.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. What Juanita was talking about earlier is about the whole political narrative around a lot of what was happening at the weekend with the Rugby World Cup. I think the prime example here is the EFF narrative, and I think it's all summed up in one tweet here by Mbuyiseni Ndlozi, where he says, "We are pushing against all efforts to pull a 1994-1996 on us again. We will not take the sleeping tablets of rugby euphoria again." And he spelt again wrong.
Wow,
"We will be better than our parents."
Wow.
"We choose to feel the painful truth of our wretched conditions. We refuse unity without equality and the land." So this is quite telling about the narrative here, Piwe, don't you think?
Yeah. As I was saying, his timing is just wrong. Many people would agree with him. In fact, a lot of critics of South Africa hosting the 2010 World Cup were that, look, we've got so many problems in the country that we could be fixing. Instead, we are going on and on about sports, and that during the apartheid era, that's what that government did with the sporting teams for the race that they represented. That people were preoccupied with sports and not questioning the injustices that, look, you can go on and make that argument for as long as you can, but I mean, just be happy for us, for you look, know, we be happy for the country and whatnot.
Critical point.
But the other thing, which is a debate that maybe people who constantly argue about representation. Rassi is a white man, right?
Yeah.
This is the largest number of black players you've seen in a World Cup
squad. Yes. That is true.
And it had to be a white guy. maybe his Eastern Cape roots.
Look, he's from Dispatch.
Stop it.
He's from
Dispatch. People are already tired of
from Dispatch. The captain's from Zwide in PE.
In PE, yeah.
So already, when Rassie became a coach, I think it was in 2005, he already looked like an enlightened mind. He has admitted that he had issues with the media, but as time has gone on, he's solved those like significantly. He's very media friendly. But again, he had the foresight to try do things differently. And I mean, Alistair Coetzee had a golden opportunity in 2016 to appoint Siya Kolisi as his captain. Because at the time, Siya Kolisi was Stormers' captain. Eben was more experienced, but you always go for the person who is the leader in the position. If the players agree at provincial level, agree on you as a leader, surely that should say something. That is something that Alistair missed out on. And what Rassie immediately got onto. Because, I mean, when he made his captaincy bow, it was on his birthday at Ellis Park last year. That was a significant moment. Look at the rugby's historical politics. Unfortunately, whether we like the unity notion or not, they are not going to go away. I mean, because unfortunately, rugby still represents the face of South African inequality. If you go to Craven Week, the language of operation is Afrikaans. You go to any at any age group level. I mean, you walk across the road and you go to help Mecca when there's rugby going on there. You know that already it's Afrikaans. So already rugby still has a long way to go. I mean, football showed the way back in 92. I mean, cricket are slowly getting there. So representation is critical. People always complain that we are the white people in football. People forget that when football has kept more white players than rugby. Then rugby has kept black players.
Wow.
So,
but that
discussion about soccer, I think it's a non-discussion
That
people use that to compare with rugby. The truth of the matter is there has never been a systematic exclusion of white South African in any sport.
Exactly.
They don't play in numbers soccer primarily because they choose not to.
Yeah,
it has nothing to do with a system that is designed to exclude.
And then you'd find that a lot of, we discussed this again on Saturday, you find that a lot of the big schools actually have very good soccer programs. And you'd find yourself, where do those players go to? I was actually explaining to a colleague that Tsegopatso Mabasa, the pirate striker, he's from Great College, and Great College probably have one of the best soccer programs. And yet it's taken them quite a long time to produce a Bafana player. They've produced 48 Springboks. So they produced two national team cricket captains in the late Hunter Cranny and Kepler Wessels. They've got Olympic, they've got world champions in swimming, Zayn Waddle. They've got Olympic gold medals, Rake Nietland. They've produced every sportsman that you can conceive in any sporting code. They just need to tick the football box. I mean, Pretoria Boys High, they produced John Smith and one Mark Fish. So already there's, the programs are there, whether there is enough attitude, the same attitude they show in those in the rugby programs towards the soccer program, because again, soccer is a relatively new sport internationally for South Africa. It only actually started in 1992. The professional structures are older than the national structure, and it speaks volumes in terms of unity. So rugby still has a long way to go, and unfortunately, we certainly does have a point. And a lot of people, I mean, you'll remember Mark Fredericks, our lecturer at university.
He's
got very strong opinions about how rugby, the 1995 World Cup, was used as a way to brainwash the country thinking that all the problems are solved. Yeah, whereas the problems that existed in 1995 still exist in 2019.
Is it possible for people who live daily lives in South Africa, the realities of South Africa, to think that a win will solve our problems? I feel like that is just
condescending.
Condescending.
Yes.
We know. We are not stupid. We are not kids. We know.
That's why I feel like this conversation is really for the chattering class. Because if you're sitting, if you're sitting in rural Eastern Cape, you're sitting on your, like, you know, your grandmother's Sasa grant is already finished.
Yeah.
You're eating the last loaf of bread. You know, but you want to celebrate the win because it distracts you.
Yes. You still want to.
So and allow them to be distracted and to enjoy it. And allow us to just take the moment and enjoy it.
And the critical part about Saturday's final and the semi-final, they were available to everyone. Because rugby's seen it. You have to pay 850 rand a month on DSTV to watch Super Rugby, Curry Cup and the Springboks. The critical matter is that that game was available on free-to-air platforms. representation, availability, inclusivity. That's why football always wins. It is available to anyone and everyone.
True.
So what the moral of the story is, guys, we can have conversations. We can celebrate a win, and we can also talk about the lack of transformation and the sorry state of our country. But do we really have to do it at the same time?
Unfortunately, well, that's all we have time for this week. Thanks for a great debate, guys. And it was, yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I think you must become a regular.
Anyway, catch us at the same time next week. We'll have more for you then.